This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. A former top official with Iraqi intelligence is in U.S. custody after returning to Iraq from Syria. Farouk Hijazi was most recently Iraq's ambassador to Tunisia, but he played a significant role in Saddam Hussein's secret police. Simon Marks reports from Damascus.
U.S. intelligence claimed that Farouk Hijazi was one of the most prominent Iraqi officials to head to Syria when the war began. How he came to find himself back on the Iraqi side of the country's border with Syria remains unclear. But once there, he was quickly captured by U.S. forces. Number three in Saddam Hussein's intelligence agency, he's accused by the United States of conspiring to assassinate President Bush's father back in 1993. The U.S. also alleges that he met Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan in 1998. Simon Marks, Damascus.
Canada's Prime Minister is speaking out against a travel alert to Toronto because of the SARS crisis. Prime Minister Jean Chrétien contends the World Health Organization was wrong to advise against non-essential travel to Canada's largest city.
We all believe that the World Health Organization came to the wrong conclusion. We believe that Toronto is a good place to visit, and it is a safe city.
In fact, Chrétien feels so strongly that WHO has reached the wrong conclusion. He plans to sleep in Toronto this coming Monday night and will hold a cabinet meeting there on Tuesday. More than a dozen people in the Toronto area have now died from the SARS virus. Canada is the only nation in the world outside Asia where people have died from the highly contagious disease.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions,
yes,
then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Let's read this one.
My favorite.
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
Better headache relief. Advance to Advil.
A Harvard University terrorism expert says U.S. intelligence must be eager to debrief Iraq's former Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz and a former top intelligence officer Farouk Hijazi. Jim Walsh says Hijazi might have the most crucial information.
Certainly the intelligence officer will know whether there are Iraqi spies or other intelligence officials throughout the region, some of whom may be plotting acts of revenge against the United States.
Walsh also thinks Hijazi would know about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. Walsh expects more members of the deposed regime to surrender or be captured. He notes that Hijazi was captured near the Syrian border, which indicates that government may have helped to turn him in because officials there are feeling the heat from the U.S. The U.S. State Department has accused Syria of harboring terrorists.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
An animal rights group is putting their money where their mouth is to make sure the dogs that are with coalition forces in Iraq stay healthy. The Humane Society of the United States is giving the U.S. military in the Middle East 30 cooling vests for dogs that have to work in the brutal heat of Iraq. HSUS spokesman Phil Snyder said they gave an animal protection society not far from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, money to buy the vests and send them overseas.
We wanted to make sure that these would react and cool the dogs down, even in the extreme heat that is in Iraq.
Snyder says the vests absorb excess heat from the dog's body. He says the vests contain pockets where ice and water can be inserted to keep the dogs healthy. Stocks were down today on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 133 points to 8306. The Nasdaq finished lower by 22 points to 1434. The S&P 500 lost 12 points to 898. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life
in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimens were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
In your swallowing wall, life's light.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good afternoon, truth seekers. Malloy here. Oh, gosh, that's awfully loud. Let's see if we can get that down a little bit. Malloy here on Resistance Radio, and it's not afternoon, it's evening. Thanks for joining us. I knew I would do that at least one more time. Program today, tonight, this afternoon. I don't know. I don't know where I am. I don't know what time it is. Never mind. It's just, living in bizarro world. That does it. Finally gets to you, doesn't it? Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. Or if you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Our Boston Bureau Chief is here right now. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I just wanted to let you know that some of us that have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning are still out here listening to you.
You have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, well.
Oh, my God.
You know. So I'm catching you now during the week on White Rose Society.
Oh, no. That means you very seldom call in, which I just noticed. Hell, it's only 9 o'clock. Oops, I don't know what happened there, but let me pot that down for a second. Oops. Hey, Matt, let me put you on hold, and I'll come back to you. What, do we have gremlins in here again tonight, Kathy? Is that what's going on? Okay. Let me see if he's back yet. Oop! Can't do it. All right, we've got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Matt, if you can hear me, I'm going to hang up, and I'd like you to call back in, because apparently we have some sort of a problem in the phone line here that is kind of weird. Okay? Yeah, it's Friday night, isn't it? Trying to get out of here, trying to get through the week, get a little sanity on the weekend, and everything starts to go to hell again. A little update here on the Rick Santorum story. A Republican group. What's the name of this group? The Republican Unity Coalition. Has demanded, not asked, not requested, not sent a letter or an email, demanded that Senator Rick Santorum apologize to gay folks for his remarks equating homosexuality with all sorts of ugliness, bigamy and incest and bestiality and having bad haircuts. This group, Republican Unity Coalition, has among its members former President Gerald Ford and, more notably, Mary Cheney, the daughter of Vice President Dick Cheney, who Mary Cheney, who, by the way, happens to be gay herself, Can you imagine how bad that must be for Dick Cheney's daughter, for Newt Gingrich's sister, and for Phyllis Schlafly, the founder of the Eagle Forum, an extreme right-wing anti-feminist group run by a female, Phyllis Schlafly, her son. So Phyllis Schlafly's son, Newt Gingrich's sister, and Dick Cheney's daughter. These are all people who happen to be gay. That's all, they just happen to be gay. So when Newt Gingrich himself, or I'm sorry, Rick Santorum makes the kinds of statements that he made, referring to Dick Cheney's daughter, Newt Gingrich's sister, and Phyllis Schlafly's son as being less than human, a threat to the American family, willing to practice incest, ooh, Newt Gingrich and his sister, ooh, Phyllis Schlafly and her son, ah. You want me to go on? Mary Cheney and her father? That's what Rick Santorum was referring to. So, the Republican Unity Coalition demands an apology to gays for these remarks. Now, the group, Republican Unity Coalition, that includes Mary Cheney, Vice President Richard Cheney's gay daughter, the group spoke out after Bill Frist of Tennessee, Dr. Bill, the Senate Majority Leader, rose to Mr. Santorum's defense. Don't they always do this? They always do it, don't they? You want to attack the Negroes? You want to attack the gays? You want to attack the Hispanics? You want to attack poor white people? You want to, you know, somebody within the Republican Party will rise to your defense and say, well, now, you know, the liberal media is taking it out of context. The liberal media is taking everything out of context. And that's what Bill Frist did. Bill Frist said, Bill Frist said that Senator Santorum is an inclusive man, and he's a consistent voice for inclusion and compassion in the Republican Party and in the Senate. This is what Bill Frist, the leader of the Senate, said. Rick is a consistent voice for inclusion and compassion in the Republican Party, and to suggest otherwise is just politics. Well, I'll tell you what. Dr. Frist, why don't we ask Mary Cheney? Why don't we ask the vice president's daughter, who happens to be gay? Shall we ask her? Mary, are you offended by Rick Santorum's comments that you would like to practice incest? But the Republicans stick together on these issues because they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. This is the appeal to the psychotic, religiously insane base of the Republican Party.
Yeah, you go get them queers. Get them Negroes, too.
Now, Democrats, of course, being Democrats, condemned the remarks. Gay rights groups called for Mr. Santorum to resign his leadership post. He's number three in the Republican Party, of course. Of course. Santorum says he doesn't need to apologize because he was engaged in a, in his words, legitimate public policy discussion. Now, the Republican Unity Coalition that includes Mary Cheney and former President Gerald Ford describes itself as a gay-straight organization dedicated to making homosexuality a non-issue. They did not call for Mr. Santorum to relinquish his leadership position.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay if we have gay bashers in the upper echelons of the Republican Party. We're just trying to move beyond this gay-straight issue and, you know, make it homosexuality a non-issue.
How do you make homosexuality a non-issue? How do you make heterosexuality a non-issue? How do you make any sexuality a non-issue? As long as the Republican Party insists on continuing to make it an issue. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the Republican Unity Coalition said these are false and harmful comparisons. Senator Santorum owes an apology to gay men and women who support, build, and love, or support, build, and have loving families all across America. Well, I don't know if you'd call Phyllis Schlafly's family a loving, supportive family. I don't know about Dick Cheney's family, and I certainly don't know about Newt Gingrich's family. But in my experience, in my little life, I have known gay folks who seem to have just exemplary families. You know what I'm saying? So there's Rick Santorum. Don't you? Wouldn't you think at some point we wouldn't be discussing a Republican leader making nasty comments about segments of the U.S. population? Wouldn't you think that such a day might come to pass? Well, if you'd think that, you'd be wrong, because the Republican Party is about separation. It's about putting faction against faction. It's about putting gays against straights, whites against blacks, immigrants against native-born, Democrats against Republicans, liberals against conservatives. And out of that chaos and confusion, the Republican Party feeds. You know what will happen to Rick Santorum? Absolutely nothing. Except Rick Santorum guarantees his reelection with comments like this. Because he appeals with these kinds of comments, as all Republicans do. You think Trent Lott will ever be defeated? He lets his base know that even though he may have struck from George Bush's bill a provision providing funding for religious-based organizations, that he, Rick Santorum, is just doing that to confuse everyone. Here, let me bash the queers for a while. See, I'm really still Rick Santorum. Now, let us try again with our Boston bureau chief. I don't know what happened, man. All of a sudden, it sounded like just...
Well, that's
I hate it when that happens, you know?
That's what I got on my end. But, you know, you're down in Atlanta, and yeah, you know, it can happen down there. I just wanted to tell you that, you know, those of us that were loyal listeners during your afternoon rain are still here, but some of us have to catch you on, thank goodness for WhiteRoseSociety.org.
Yeah, really.
I'd like to give them a plug. And
yeah, that's our Elgin, Illinois bureau chief, Ben, who set that up. Yeah, that's,
you know, yeah, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and am a morning person, unfortunately, for so many reasons. But we're still out here and we're still listening. You know, I sent you an article today that the White House officials have said privately that September 11th attacks have changed everything, and WMDs don't matter now, Mike.
Right. No, of course not. They never. I don't think they ever did. Well,
I
you
don't
know,
think
this,
so either.
It's just, you know, the reason for invading Iraq had, you know, it was to frighten Syria and Iran. It was to go after the oil. It was to continue the American gulag that is going to extend from the British Isles all the way to Central Asia. With military bases and absolute utter control. By God, we will bring order to a disordered world, won't we?
Well, let's realize what this is really about, and this is my own personal belief, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a battle. This is, yes, in a way, this is a battle between Christianity and Islam, but this is a battle between the dollar and the euro. And I think there is very little emphasis being played on the euro factor, as I would like to call it. You know, American oil companies and businesses, you know, the Halliburtons, the Carlyle Groups, et cetera,
mm-hmm,
stand to lose billions of dollars if they have to convert their oil buying power to the euro.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And more and more of this is happening. I think, you know, the root of all evil, as it were, may be the euro versus the dollar. I just also wanted to, because I don't want to take up a lot of your time, mention that you were mentioned on C-SPAN today.
Ooh.
During Washington Journal, and somebody, I don't know who it was, but they got in a plug for you and IE America Radio and,
oh my goodness,
and Democratic Underground and all kinds of things. So
must have been some liberal way off his meds or her meds.
But it's great to talk to you, and we are listening.
Well, thanks, Matt. I knew when we made the switch we were going to lose some of our listeners, and we would gain some other ones. And
it sounds like you've gained a lot more than you've lost, and that's the important thing, and that's great. And rock on, brother. That's
all right. Thanks, Matthew.
Take care.
All right, pal. Stay in touch. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
They find an easy victim and they punch him to the ground. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in time.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four!
Yeah, too bad. Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com. We'll personally match you with a LendingTree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's B-U-Y-C-O-I-N. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Okay, let's go to Rand in New Mexico. Hey, Rand, welcome to Animal Talk.
Howdy, everybody. I love your show.
Well, thank you so much.
Older husky, the 14-and-a-half-year-old, has currently gotten into licking the cover of his bed.
Hmm. Oh, well, you know, there could be a lot of really good smells on the cover of the bed, considering I'm sure he likes to lay around outside, and a lot of other things. Anal gland scent is probably one of the biggest
ones. Oh, I forgot the good old anal gland.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You remember, expects the anal glands.
Right, and I'll tell you, they like to remind you every now and then that they exist.
Yeah. Hey, sure. Rand, we're going to come out with a new T-shirt just in honor of you.
Really?
It's going to say, anal glands express them.
Oh, you don't know how apropos that is.
Hey, Rand, we're going to put you on hold and get your information, get you out your free pickles, okay?
Oh, thanks.
All right.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour from our too weird for words department. Did you see this thing? Naomi Campbell, the supermodel. According to the New York Post, she has revealed that she, Naomi Campbell, supermodel, has intelligence sources across the globe, keeping track of terrorist activity. The New York Post says Ms. Campbell has let it be known that her network of spies has been keeping tabs on none other than Osama bin Laden. And Naomi Campbell, the supermodel, has confided to close friends that she knows for a fact where bin Laden is holed up in Saudi Arabia. I'm not making this up. Naomi Campbell, yeah, supermodel. You go, Naomi. A couple more items here. By the way, we're at 800-TALK-YES. Anybody out there tonight? What the hell is going on? Are the phones working? Friday night. I don't care if it's Friday night. There's people have important engagement here on the Molloy program. From our little stack here, the Bush administration. The Bush administration wants to stop a Holocaust survivors law. Now, let me explain. The Bush administration and the insurance industry told the Supreme Court on Wednesday of this week that a California law that is designed to help Holocaust survivors with insurance claims that go back decades, that this law in California intrudes on U.S. foreign policy and should be struck down. Now, what the law is about, there were insurance companies that insured the lives of people that we now refer to as Holocaust survivors. These insurance companies don't want to pay. They don't want to pay for the deaths of the people they were insuring in Germany, Austria, Poland, wherever, who were rounded up, sent to the death camps, and executed. So the state of California passed a law that said, no. Now, the Supreme Court, earlier this week, heard the argument in a lawsuit over a state law passed in California in 1999 that requires companies that sold policies in Europe from 1920 to 1945, companies that sold the policies all those years ago that are now affiliated with California insurance companies, to search their records and pay up. The law in California says that companies that refuse to do this could lose their state licenses. Well, gee, this seems eminently fair, doesn't it? Now, the law, according to the people who wrote it in California, was intended to address what was referred to as a despicable practice by insurance companies, their refusal to provide basic policy information to Holocaust survivors and their heirs. Now, other state the lawsuit was filed by the state insurance commissioner John Garamendi. He's the one who said, "Look, if you're an insurance company, you're doing business in the state of California, and 80 years ago, your company insured the lives of Holocaust victims or survivors or their heirs, and just because the world went into chaos and 8 million people were executed, do you think you can get away with paying the claims?" And the insurance companies say, "Yep, we sure do." So the law was written to deny the insurance companies the right to not pay the claims. So other state insurance commissioners, 52 members of Congress, and a law firm with hundreds of Holocaust survivors as clients sided with the state of California, and the lawsuit went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Bush crime family wants the law killed and the Supreme Court to say, "No, sorry, California, you can't make a law like that. And you Holocaust survivors, you heirs to Holocaust victims, screw you."
Historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. A 10-day strike by more than 3 million truck drivers in India has come to an end, with the truckers claiming victory. They walked off the job in protest of rising fuel prices and a new tax the government planned to impose on the trucking industry. But after the government agreed to moderate fuel costs and reconsider the tax, the trucks began rolling again yesterday. Several factories shut down during the dispute as raw materials ran low, and several million pounds of produce and livestock had to be destroyed after spoiling and starving to death in warehouses.
President Bush was in Canton, Ohio yesterday, defending his proposal for a 10-year tax plan that could eliminate nearly three-quarters of $1 trillion in taxes over the next decade. Under the plan, the wealthiest 1% of Americans would receive more in breaks than the bottom 80%. Despite this, Bush insists his plan is geared to help working Americans.
For the sake of our country, for the sake of the workers of America, Congress needs to pass this jobs growth package soon.
Polls show a majority of Americans oppose Bush's plan, and recently the president has reduced his call for a $726 billion cut.
The package ought to be at least $550 billion in size over a 10-year period in order to make sure that the economy grows.
Bush says a tax cut would create 1 million new jobs by the end of 2004, half the number that have disappeared under his watch.
That's not my projection. That's the projection of a lot of smart economists who've analyzed the package.
Evidently, that doesn't include the 10 Nobel Prize-winning economists who earlier this year attacked the plan, saying the president was seeking a, quote, permanent change in the tax structure and not the creation of jobs and growth in the near term, end quote.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, so add one more group to those that the Bush administration just totally disrespects. And just lifts its leg, figuratively speaking, and pees all over. Now it's Holocaust survivors and their heirs. Unbelievable. The Bush crime family and its backers in the insurance industry don't want to pay for legitimate claims on policies that they wrote, in some cases, 80 years ago. Well, why should they? Why should they? Holocaust survivors, for God's sake. I mean, is there no limit? Come on. It's enough that the Bush crime family cuts veterans' benefits, treats people in the military like so much, oh, here comes a cliche, cannon fodder. It is egregious that school children in this country, after Bush said, well, leave no child behind, school children in this country, in so many schools, there's not even books available, but... And it can go on and on. Medicare recipients, people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s who rely on Medicare, and the Bush crime family wants to destroy that. Social Security, they want to turn into a private piggy bank for investment houses. But Holocaust survivors, for Christ's sake, is there no limit? Is there nothing that these people won't do to pay off their backers and their and oh my God, Holocaust survivors. Boy, it's something every day, isn't it? Oh, my God. All right, Ann, get me out of this. Ann's calling from Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Ann.
Well, part of your problem, you're assuming these people have any morals whatsoever. Amoral people do, immoral things.
I know, but it's still shocking. I mean, just instance after instance after instance of this kind of stuff. It still shocks me, that's all.
Well, it's got another group, which is kind of trickling on, if you will. Unemployed people, did you see the numbers, the new ones from last month's unemployment rate?
I did not. Today?
Almost half a million.
Another half million who are no longer looking for work.
Well, unemployed, new unemployed. Actually, I saw something, and that's what I was calling about, on the Wall Street Journal about a week or so ago.
Yeah.
They talked about how the numbers that you're seeing, that 5.8% and stuff, is really misleading because people that have been unemployed 6 months or more, actually, a lot of them are calling themselves self-employed consultants now, although they're not earning money or they're not working very many hours. A lot of them have taken part-time jobs because they can't find full-time jobs,
sure.
So they're counted as working. And it said if you add those people in, factor it back in, you're looking almost 12% unemployment rate.
12%?
11.9 is what they came up with.
Well, you know, that's another reason that not just the Bush crime family, but administrations traditionally in the past 50 years. That's why a good war, as long as not too many Americans get killed, but a good war is good because it sucks up some of the unemployed. Now, since we don't have a draft anymore and haven't had a draft for over 30 years, the military serves the function of sucking into it young people who cannot find work and whose families cannot afford to send them to school. So the military becomes an employer of last resort. If those numbers were included, I would imagine the figure would be higher than 12%.
Right. Well, actually, I think what Bush is trying to do is set up his own little kingdom here, and he's going to be the king at the top, and he's got his group of people that, serve him, kind of like Queen Elizabeth back in the old times kind of thing, and the rest of us are just going to be the working serfs. And they're going to put up their big castle and put their moat around it to protect themselves and have chaining them in there at the draw gate, and the rest of us are just going to be back in the Middle Ages.
Well, you remember what happened. I'm familiar with the Middle Ages, too. I used to see all the movies when I was a kid. Remember when the peasants then would take their flaming torches and pitchforks and clubs and storm the castle and, you know what happened next, right?
Right.
Hey, Ann, thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate your call. Isn't that what Pat Buchanan has said many times? It's time for the peasantry. And that's you and me. It is. I don't care how much money you make. If you're listening to this program or calling this program, you're part of the peasantry. And since I'm doing this program, I'm part of the peasantry, too. Is it not time for us to take up our pitchforks and cudgels and flaming, actually used to call them flaming faggots. I know that kind of makes you think of Rick Santorum, but, that's where the word comes from. And storm the castle? Roy is calling from Kankakee, Illinois. Hey, Roy, this your first time calling the program?
First time calling your program since it's on the internet, but I used to call you on WLS.
I thought that when I saw Roy, Kathy's got typed on the screen here, Roy from Kankakee, Illinois, I thought, by God, he used to call me on WLS.
I'm your Pink Floyd buddy out
there. There you go, Pink Floyd. All right. How you doing, Roy?
I'm doing great. I tell you what, we miss you out here.
Yeah, well.
Even Jay Marvin has kind of turned soft on us out here.
Oh, Jay Marvin has become nothing but a right-winger. But Jay wants to stay employed at WLS. To me, it didn't matter worth a damn. I wanted to keep doing what I was doing.
Well, I think he's blinded by that Eileen Byrne, and I don't know if you've heard about her.
All I remember is Eileen Byrne had very bad breath. I met her a couple of times, said hi to her in the studios at WLS, and it was like, whoa, man, go get some Listerine, girl.
Well, I mean, in her background, on her file, it says that she had conducted anti-Clinton rallies, so it tells you all about her.
Anti-Clinton rallies?
Yes, it says in her bio. They had her one day as the personality of the country or something like that,
well.
And one of those things, and I looked it up, and it says that was one of her claims to fame. So.
Yeah, well, everybody's got to have something.
Oh,
now, what you really called about, Roy?
Well, I wanted to, this thing about this weapons of mass destruction, it was always brought up and brought up and brought up, and now suddenly there's a story on AP today that Bush is saying, well, you know what, maybe we can't find these the weapons of mass destruction.
Well, of course not. But that doesn't surprise you, Roy.
No, not at all.
You knew there were no weapons there. I knew it. Hans Blix knew it. The world knew it. I don't know who didn't know it, except the real war lovers in the society, which is everybody who's a Republican.
In the media.
Hmm.
See, that's the thing. Where's the media article about Bush admitting this? I would think that would be a top story of today's papers.
No. I don't know. There will be some columnists. There will be Robert Scheer will write about this. Molly Ivins will write about it. Paul Krugman will write about it. There are some just excellent, just fiery columnists in this country who are still left. But as far as television is concerned, no. All of these alphabet soup networks lobbied for this war. They wanted this war. They were going crazy with a four-month build-up to this war. It was like, Jesus, come on, let's get this war going. Man, this makes great video footage. Ooh, and we'll have all the generals come in. Ooh, we'll have our embedded reporters. And ooh, this is going to be great. So, no, the media now, the electronic media, is not going to come out and say, look, the whole thing was a scam.
Well, even PBS, which really surprised me, the NewsHour, I thought for sure there'd be something on it, and nothing tonight. Mm. You know, that it just completely caught me off guard. And, you know, if we remember, wasn't it like, say, around maybe 5-6 weeks ago that Colin Powell had went to the UN with these dramatic pictures?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, how come we haven't found the chemical bunkers in Taji?
Because it was all a fake. It was all lies. It was all manufactured. Even the CIA said, look, there are no weapons of mass destruction there. And immediately the CIA and the NSA and these secret intelligence agencies were ordered by the Bush crime family, look, either A, shut up, or B, go find something. There's nothing there.
So why hasn't anybody taken Powell to task or anybody else for not having... for coming up with these pictures and now suddenly not being able to find anything 3 weeks after you had all these pictures?
Well, you are, Roy.
I am, and hopefully people in the country are listening to this because, you know, this is the big question. You know, another thing that comes up to mind.
But wait, let me just comment on that. The American people, for the most part, again, I'm not referring to people listening to this program, but the American people don't care. Look, it was great television. We had a nice, you know, a lovely war, all kinds of cool video footage. Didn't see any broken bodies or any mm-hmm. children's guts spilled out on the road. No. Oh, there was that one little boy with his arms blown off, but what the hell? We'll get him some prosthetic arms. Yeah. He was just an Iraqi. But it was a nice little war. Everything's over. Now, this is what's going to be said.
Well, you know, you liberals, just like you couldn't get over the fact that you lost Florida, now you can't get over the fact that we won the war. So stop your bitching. Just shut up. George Bush is God. And if he's not God, he's right up there with Christ. And he beat the dirty, rotten Iraqis. And now all you want to talk about is weapons of mass. Oh, shut up.
Right.
That's the way it's going to be, pal.
You're probably right there. But it just seems like that we've created a tremendous power vacuum there, too. And it's gonna hit big time because
we're gonna wind up the world is gonna wind up with the Islamic Republic of Iraq. That's what it's going to be. Now, until it is that, it's going to be chaos and murder. One regime, the Bush crime family, is replacing another regime, a Saddam Hussein. But those Shiite Muslims who make up 60-70% of the population of that country, they are no more interested in democracy than you and I are interested in fascism. Mm-hmm. What they want is what Iran has, an Islamic Republic, where the country is a run by a state religion, run by the mullahs, where Islamic law, Sharia, is applied, where none of the decadent Western television or media or fast food or crap or sex is allowed into the country. That's what the Shia want. That's what they will have. And this is what Bush did. So, you know, we better get used to it.
Well, and not only that, I think the thing is that this is so much like the situation with Tito. Of course, we didn't overthrow Tito, but it's so similar to what happened in Yugoslavia. And, you know, look at what happened there with the ethnic cleansing, and you're going to see the same kind of thing here.
I think you're right.
A long, long time, and who knows? And the thing about this, too, is, you know, when Yugoslavia was taken, and Russia was pretty much a weakened state, but when you have Iraq getting split up in three or four different pieces, you have situations with Iran and Syria and everybody else that's going to look hungrily at that area and say, you know what, let's join with our Shia brethren or our Kurdish brethren. And
just beginning. Roy, thanks for checking in. Listen, don't be a stranger.
Listen every night. It's difficult with the two kids, but I'm going to try.
Roy, appreciate you checking in, pal. Syria, I mean, my goodness, the Jordanians, I think of, you know, Jordan kind of, this fake, all these fake boundaries prior to the end of the Ottoman Empire. These fake boundaries. Take a map. Look at Jordan. Jordan has this huge chunk that sticks into Iraq. Who came up with that? Saudi Arabia? The Saudi royal family would love. You know, the whole reason the Iraqis invaded Kuwait, that Saddam invaded Kuwait, was the fact that Kuwait was doing what they call the boundary between Kuwait and oil. So Saddam invaded after getting permission from Pappy Bush. There's not a country that borders Iraq that wouldn't like to have a chunk. Come on. This is Iraq. This is where the second largest provable reserves of oil on the planet exist. Henry is calling from Oahu. This your first time calling, Henry?
Yeah, it's my first time. You know, I just wanted to call and just show you some love because I've been listening to you for a while and I'm just glad you're out there speaking like this, and don't you wear a bullet?
Armed, and I know how to use a weapon.
Because I was going to talk about Ari this morning, but listening to you, question.
You talk about Ari Fleischer?
Yeah, this guy.
The pencil neck geek?
Yeah, he's such a liar.
Oh, so man.
Funny. It was so funny how everybody laughed at the Iraqi guy who was the
Iraqi minister of information.
Yeah, they laughed like he was funny, but you should listen to those guys side by side.
Well, he and Ari Fleischer are cousins.
They're friends. They
right.
got to be brothers or something.
Well, cousins, yeah. You know, cousins. They went to the same school of government information. They're both graduates from the International School of Providing Government Information. Ari Fleischer, under liar. And you'll see it.
To be there.
Yeah,
they sit there. You are exactly right. Their X-Man just lie to them, and they try to pretend to make this crap every day.
Well, the reporters got it. They got to keep their jobs. They got families to support, kids in school, mortgage payments to make. So they're going to go to these press briefings, White House press briefings, and they're going to try. Some of them try. Russell Mokyber tries. But for the most part, the whorish media in this country, the so-called press, they're going to do nothing that might result in their White House press pass taken away from them.
That's a shame. Do you think that the reason why they can do this to the American public is that, I don't want to, the American public is racist, basically?
Well, there's no question the American public is racist, but what's your point?
That's
just a given. This is America!
Yeah, so because of America's racism and a big chunk toward anybody, like, oh, they're just fiends.
Sure.
They're not real people, so they're thus dying.
That's exact sad truth, one of the many sad truths about this society. The society was fed-based and thrived on the most extreme of racism, that would be slavery, and we've never gotten over it. It's the tick in the soul of this country, and I don't think it's ever going to be repaired because white folk, the dominant race, is never going to own up to the fact of what was done. Hey, listen, there's the music. Henry,
keep up the good fight.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
A little dab of oil will get you through. Oh, I go anywhere to fight for love, to lubricate the red, white, and blue.
For a place to attack, why not attack Iraq? They've got coconut and palm oil and crude. They invaded Kuwait, so let's not hesitate. We can blow up a country or two. If it's oil or it's Greece, we don't have time for peace. Waging war is what we want to do. Oh, I'd go anywhere to fight for oil, to lubricate.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
It's Twix.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm gonna tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover is Dr. Dre style. Through the streets, just doing my thing.
What?
The Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I wanna stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all.
Twix.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, a source of news and information that corporate media would prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor that is important to you. In These Times is essential in celebrity fixated news media. I say, stop now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in www.inthesetimes.com. That's dumb.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to radio.com and take a look and listen for your IEAmericaRadio.com.
Of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view. WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service, affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what bit. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com. Click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your radio.
She is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really?
You
know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
He is the stupidest human being ever to illegally occupy, well, legally or illegally, occupy the White House. It'll take time to restore chaos and what else, Gaddy? Chaos and order, but we'll do it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What did we do? Is this the payback for slavery? Is that what it is? Is this the karmic debt that we're paying off white people or this country in general? Is this the debt for slavery, for those 300 years that we exploited people of color, that we now have George W. Bush in the White House? I'll bet that's it. It has to have been something massively, massively bad that we did as a country in order to have this moron in the White House. Maybe it was slavery. Who knows? Paul is calling from Boynton Beach, Florida. Hey, Paul.
Yo, Mike.
How you doing?
Yeah, and as this Georgie Porgy says, yes, and when we give that over $500 billion back, we're going to get half of those people that are unemployed back to work again.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, really. But, boy, I tell you, you know, there are a lot of people that are, well, they're not unemployed, but, boy, they're making a lot less than they were because there's a lot of people that were employed with a company, but now they're contractors.
Yeah, independent contractors.
And when you're a contractor, all that insurance, all that vacation, all that holiday is gone.
Yeah.
And then the check that they give you, of course, is, well, that's, you know, we can't give you as much as we gave you before. No, we can't do that.
Yeah, I know. It's a scam. It's, you know, the Bush administration has cost this economy 2 million jobs. They have not created one single job during the Clinton years. I don't care if people like Bill Clinton or not. He created 20 million jobs, an average of about 2.5 million jobs a year. I don't care what people think about his relationship with Monica or his attack on Serbia or his missiles going into Iraq. Doesn't matter. Here in this country, he created 20 million jobs. The Bush crime family has been in office 3 years and they have destroyed I think it's approaching 3 million jobs now, and it's going to continue until we wake up and toss this bastard out of office. But until that day happens, hey, we're stuck with him. Paul, thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Quick break. We'll be back. Did I call the President of the United States a bastard? Oh, my goodness. Oh, wash my mouth out with soap.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of the Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been to PM, pleasant dreams. A different point of view on the news. IE America is news service. WINS is a unique news service that what big business wants you to hear. WINS is a video.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. Something different. It's from IE America and
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Two adults were shot at the University of Maryland's Collard campus today. Prince George's County Police say the victims are a man and a woman who were found in a campus parking garage when another student told her about the incident.
And two people got shot.
The victims were taken to Delta Airlines. Chairman Leo Mullen painted a grim picture today. Mullen says if the Atlanta-based airline reforming the company's bottom line remains a priority, concessions from Delta's pilots, he says,
continuing partnership with our pilots and all Delta employees effectively.
Delta's pilots are the highest paid industry, and Mullen says that the agreement signed 2 years ago is no longer sustainable in the current environment. Mullen says he's encouraged that the pilots' union has a talk to management about cost problems. Delta's boss says the airline can remain solvent during this encouraging period. If it does, Mullen says, Delta will have the best chance of any airline for long-term success.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You have a headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
Both Tylenol or Advil. Truth is, you'll advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you're better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
Can I
big girl?
Can I big guy?
Just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place. Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your food, or will give you double the difference. Does that sound like we'll call you is our kind of customer? Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
A coalition of healthcare administrators, labor leaders, and community members is urging congressional support of the temporary state fiscal relief act. The Put Our Families First coalition is rallying for state fiscal relief and increased healthcare funding. The legislation would provide nearly $1.5 billion in temporary aid to Pennsylvania. Service Employees International Union spokesman Neil Bisno said the group is committed to getting help for the healthcare field.
I think the fact that we all are on the same page speaks to the incredible urgency and the incredible common sense of the issue that we're here to talk about this morning. We are absolutely united in one thing, our commitment to assuring quality health care for Pennsylvanians.
Business says the proposed legislation is vital, otherwise the state will see dramatic cuts in hospital and psychiatric services, substance abuse treatment, and Medicaid. World oil prices fell for the fourth straight session today after OPEC's surprise decision to raise formal output quotas. The cartel also promised to cut excess supply. Crude futures in New York traded at $26.10, down 54 cents on the day. A 15% fall this week included a five-month low on Thursday. Benchmark Brent crude oil lost 11 cents to $24.22 a barrel.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Canada's Prime Minister is speaking out against the travel alert to Toronto because of the SARS crisis. Prime Minister Jean Chrétien contends the World Health Organization was wrong to advise against non-essential travel to Canada's largest city.
We all believe that the World Health Organization came to the wrong conclusion. We believe that Toronto is a good place to visit, and it is a safe city.
In fact, Chrétien feels so strongly that WHO has reached the wrong tonight and will hold a cabinet meeting there on Tuesday. Stocks were down today on 133 points to 8306, the NASDAQ 34, the S&P 500 lost 12 points. I'm Darren Cope, Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclist, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space four-wheel vehicles. Don't move to one discourages cyclists from weaving between... Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES if you'd like to join in. Before we come back to your calls, apparently Bush was on, what was he on last night? On NBC? There was an interview. Was it Tom Brokaw? I didn't watch it. I couldn't have handled that. But... according to the Independent newspaper in the United Kingdom, here's what they say. American anger at France over its refusal to support war in Iraq reached new heights yesterday when President George Bush took a direct swipe at President Chirac. Mr. Bush's tart comment in an interview with NBC News when asked about Jacques Chirac, Mr. Bush said, "I doubt he'll be coming to the ranch anytime soon." Oh, my God. Which is a reference to those informal summits that Too Stupid to Be President likes to hold with favored foreign leaders at his cherished little retreat in Crawford, Texas. Bush apparently believes that the French position was anti-American, right? Well, of course. Of course it was anti-American. That's the only way to look at it. America is pro-war, pro-death, pro-destruction, pro-empire. And it just so happened the French weren't on board for that one. So, oh my God, Gizmo is calling, one of our fleet of over-the-road truck drivers who listens on Sirius Satellite Network. You're driving near Akron, Ohio, huh?
Well, I'm near there, but I'm parked for the night.
Oh, okay. Another pleasant night in the cab, huh?
Yeah, another pleasant night in a new city and a new place, and I'll wake up tomorrow wondering where the hell I am.
Yeah, I hear that. Must be fun. It's got to be fun, though. Like I told you, I either told you or James, when I was a kid growing up, that was my desire, my goal was to be an over-the-road trucker.
I thought I talked you out of it because
you
of our mortality rate.
Well, you did. You did. I completely changed. When I grow up now, I want to be a talk show host.
Okay, and I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah, all right, Gizmo. So what's up?
Listen, well, I had a moment of euphoria tonight. I listened to the first 6 minutes of Hannity and Combs, and they had Jack Kemp on there.
Oh, yeah?
And my moment of euphoria came when Sean Hannity disagreed with Jack Kemp, who was lambasting Newt Gingrich for the remarks he made about Colin Powell.
Right.
I mean, you know, that was just down my line, you know. But I can imagine Combs there was having a ball with that too.
Well, let me tell you something that you may not know. You may know this. Sean Hannity, he and I used to work at competing radio stations here in Atlanta. Used to run into each other constantly. He came here from a little station in where was it, Kathy? Anniston, Alabama, or no, Huntsville, Alabama. He came to Atlanta. And when he got here, the first thing Sean did, knowing that in order to be a success, he would have to do for Republicans what Monica did for Bill Clinton, what he did was immediately attach himself like a lamprey to Newt Gingrich. Now, Newt was still in the House at the time. Newt was getting ready for the big Republican Revolution in 1994. So Sean Hannity, all of a sudden, no matter where you saw Newt, you saw Sean. It was almost like they were attached by an umbilical cord. And I swear to you, before all things that anyone might consider holy, that Sean became nothing more or less than Newt Gingrich's butt boy. If Newt Gingrich said something to the media in a private conversation at a party, Sean would go on the air the next day and treat it as though it was received wisdom. So the way Hannity got to New York, to Roger Ailes, to the Fox News Channel, was through Newt Gingrich. Newt had to pay him back. You know, Newt and Sean are just, I'm surprised either one of them are still married, because I'm sure that between Newt and Sean, there was very little room. You probably couldn't have slipped a shadow between the two of them. But that's, I can understand why Sean to this day will defend Newt. Newt is the reason Sean went to Fox News Channel, and then Roger Ailes was the reason that he wound up on ABC talk radio. Sean is one of the least talented talk show hosts in America, but because he constantly did for Newt Gingrich what Monica did for Bill Clinton, he was amply rewarded.
Well, I can't stand his whining little butt anyway.
Oh, you just want to pimp slap him.
But anyway, I don't know if I told you this, Mike. I was in radio and television for a while myself.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was a jock at KMPS in Seattle, which big country station there.
You finally got an honest job, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't stand the little station politics. And as far as you leaving Chicago, I can understand.
Oh, it'll drive you crazy, pal.
But I was curious. Did you hear that little stint that Jon Stewart did on that? It was on Bart Cop. He put the MP3.
No,
on Bart Cop.
I haven't heard it. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I got it on my computer here, and I was wondering if the connection was good enough. If you got
don't try
4.5 minutes or so.
No, I'll tell you what. If you want to, you can email it to us. But I can get it off Bart Cop. I have permission from Bart Cop to steal everything that he puts up there. That's a very creative site. So I just
okay. Well, just look for a Gizmo Logic letter that I'm going to send you with an attachment. And
super.
It's about four. It's 4 minutes and 51 seconds. It's hilarious. You might want to make some time on your show to play it for your audience.
That sounds like a great idea. And again, at Bart Cop is one of the best sites on the internet, and he's given me permission to go there and loot and pillage just like they did in Iraq. I can steal anything off Bart Cop's website that I want.
Well, I wouldn't have took it unless he had it there for the downloading. So I'll go ahead after I hang up here. I'll send it to you. That's Mike D. Malloy at earthling.net.
Yeah, but send it to Mike D. Malloy at AOL.com.
Okay.
That'll go
I'll
to
send
the,
it to that one.
Right. That'll go to the email address that it's easier for me to download from.
Will it take that much of MP3?
Yeah.
Four and a half minutes?
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's why I want you to send it the AOL address, because that's on a real computer. Earthlink.net account is on a laptop, and I hate it.
Okay. Well, I enjoy your show there, Mike.
Thanks, Gizmo.
I really enjoy your Ari Fleischer segment. Keep that up. I was going to mention one thing. Maybe you should take a picture of Ari Fleischer and that Iraqi spokesman and, like, put his beret on Ari's head with a picture of Baghdad in the background.
Great idea. As soon as I buy the Photoshop program, we're going to do all that at our new website, which is not up yet, but it'll be up within a week.
Okay, keep down the truth. I'll be listening.
Thanks, Gizmo. Drive safely.
Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Ari Fleischer. Sex symbol. Speaking of sex symbols, I got an email here from Lance. He wants to know, regarding Rick Santorum and everybody kind of stroking Rick right now, if you know what I mean. Bill Frist and Arlen Specter. Oh, Rick is a uniter, not a divider, just like the president. He's a good man. So Lance emails in, isn't it time for the courageous leaders of the Democratic Party to boldly proclaim Rick Santorum is wrong with his vile gay bashing? However, Santorum is really a lovely person, and we feel his policies are just misguided. Oh, those brave Democrats, Lance writes. They will really launch a bold attack against this disgusting moron. Santorum is probably sitting in a corner drowning in his own urine, awaiting the Democratic onslaught. If that's the case, Santorum's got a long way ahead of him. Yeah, well, I haven't heard. You know, all Bill Clinton had to do was burp, and 19 Republicans would hold over it, talking about that disgusting Bill Clinton. Did you hear? Now, that's just a terrible thing. Doesn't that prove that Bill Clinton is just a womanizer? But let somebody like Rick Santorum, number three in the twisted hierarchy of the Republican Party, make comments about Newt Gingrich's sister, Dick Cheney's daughter, and Phyllis Schlafly's son. Right? They're all gay. Let Rick Santorum make a statement about those people, and there's a deafening silence from the Democrats. Not a sound! And the Republicans all gather around like flies around a dung heap. Well, you know, Rick is an inclusive kind of person. He's a credit to his race. Oh, no, we don't say that. White people don't say that. He's a credit to the party. He's a credit to the Senate. And he was just discussing a valid policy matter. And that is about the destruction the queers are doing. Oh, whoops, I'm sorry. The homosexuals are doing to this family-oriented, Christian flag-waving, warmongering, murderous society. So we support Rick Santorum. We're good Republicans, and that's just how that goes. Now, what else you want to talk about? Now, you expect that from the Republicans, but is there not one single Democrat? Oh, I know, a couple of them took a couple of shots across the bow. But it takes somebody like Mary Cheney and Gerald Ford, a doddering old Republican. How old is Gerald Ford? 160? How old is this guy? And Mary Cheney, this poor misguided lesbian daughter of Dick Cheney, it takes them to come out and make a statement. They have to say, that statement really sucked. But I wonder, you know, you have to wonder, don't you? You have to wonder. Okay, I have to wonder. When somebody like Rick Santorum makes a statement about gay men and women the way he did, just a really rat-think, lousy statement. I mean, come on, for God's sake, there's nothing else to do except pick on homosexuals again? But I have to wonder, what does Dick Cheney think? What does Newt Gingrich think? Huh? Do they say, hey, you go get him? Yeah, Rick, go get him. Go get my daughter. Go get my sister. Yeah, get him, get him. Does Dick Cheney think that his daughter equals incest? Does Newt Gingrich think that his sister equals bestiality? Okay. Boy, I do get head up about these issues, don't I? Is it time for a break? Okay. All right, if you're on hold, stick around. Quick break here. We'll be back. Is it time for a break? Oh, there's the music. All right, stay with us.
All my guns under my control. I don't need security. I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jackets, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. The only side.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I have a headache. I will take Tylenol now.
It's easy to forget sometimes. You don't have to do things the same way over and over. You have a choice.
I always take Tylenol.
But you could take Advil. Advil Liquigels are proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
I need data.
Clinical tests prove it. Advil Liquigels, advanced liquid-filled capsules, rush relief where you need it.
So I have a choice. I can choose Advil.
When was the last time you rethought your pain medicine? For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy? Welcome
to Nebraska.
How are you doing?
We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with this dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Mike in Orlando sent in an email a little bit earlier talking about Bush. Bush claims his tax cut. Does he call it a jobs program still? Bush claims his tax cut of $550 billion over 10 years will create up to 1 million new jobs. Ooh! So Mike writes in, why not do this? Instead of giving $550 billion a year for 10 years, that's, instead of giving $55 billion per year back to the rich, why not do this? You can hire at an average of $50,000 a year the following: 400,000 healthcare workers, 400,000 educators or teachers, 300,000 law enforcement people. Now that's 1,100,000 new jobs per year in areas where we need help. So why not do that, George? With your $55 billion a year, and instead of giving it to these wealthy pigs, why not just turn it into a jobs program? 400,000 healthcare workers, just pay them. 400,000 teachers, just pay them. 300,000 law enforcement people, just pay them. Jobs program. Oh, my God. And then Mike says, by the way, did you hear Rummy this afternoon? No, we really didn't. We were doing other things today and did not catch any of the press conferences. Sounds like we missed a good day. Mike says, did you hear Rummy this afternoon at the press conference? He wanted to know why reporters don't just report and have to ask questions. Yeah. Now, we just got something.
This just in, Army Secretary Thomas White, who has been at odds with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld over a means of modernizing the Army, has resigned.
How about that? Now, when Thomas White is another one of those corporate thugs whose conflict of interests were so egregious, Thomas White is just, I don't know, a bloodsucker, weasel, lamprey, I don't know, call him what you want. A former corporate monster who got appointed to, was he connected to Enron? I think he was, wasn't he connected to Enron, or was it General Electric, or was it, what was Thomas White? He was involved, oh, that's right. He was with Enron and manipulated the California energy prices. And cost the taxpayers of California billions and billions of dollars. Also was part of the Enron scam, the most hideous scam, corporate scam ever perpetrated against the American public. And he was appointed Secretary of the Army. Well, apparently he's resigned. A brief Pentagon statement announcing the resignation gave no reason for White's decision. In the statement, Donald Rumsfeld thanked Thomas White for his, quote, long and able service to the country. Long and able service? Jesus, he was only appointed last year, wasn't he? A year and a half ago?
Rumsfeld said that White's departure date had not yet been determined. White's office had no immediate comment on the resignation. His departure portends a major shakeup in Army leadership. The top uniformed Army officer, General Eric Shinseki, is due to finish his term as Army Chief of Staff in June. No replacement has been nominated by President Bush yet. Yadda, 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 yadda.
So Thomas White, who never should have been appointed anyway, apparently has resigned or forced out. You don't resign from the Bush crime family. You either commit suicide or you're told to leave before you commit suicide. You know, it works like that. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Then your phone calls. No more mindless gibbering from me. Stay with us.
Instead of going deaf, it'd be better if he was mute. And then Ron Golden Boy blew off his head. At least that's what the authorities said. You've got the people lost their savings trying to ponder their fate. You got Dick Cheney's heart pumping 40 ways.
My heart is fine. Our energy policy has never been compromised.
Where are you now when we need you? Ken Starr.
Kenny Boy should invoke his fifth dimension rights.
Bush and Cheney's and Ron Money Buddies. This time they went too far.
What is Enron anyway?
Remember back when they kept whining about Clinton lowered the moral bar. Where?
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Religion is helping some people see conservation in a whole new light. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Efforts to preserve wilderness are typically based on scientific knowledge or economic analysis, but according to Gary Gardner of the World Watch Institute, religion and ritual can also help people understand the value of nature. Gardner says rituals create memories and psychological attachments to natural objects, and he says people are reviving these ancient strategies for conservation.
Ritual is being used again today to help us think about the way that we relate to things like forests or trees. And we saw this in the case of Thailand, where ecological monks or environmentalist monks, as they're sometimes called, have been very active in trying to preserve the environment and particularly preserve trees.
Gardner has written a chapter on religion and the environment for a new book, The State of the World 2003. He says Buddhist monks have been leading an effort to protect Thailand's imperiled forests. In one case, the monks wrapped a traditional saffron robe around a tree and ordained it as if it was a new convert to their faith. People from nearby villages don't think of the ordained tree as an actual monk, but rather as a sacred symbol for life deserving of protection. Gardner says the Buddhist faith helps its followers see mystical value in the natural world, and while ordaining a tree might seem strange to many people, Gardner says the reasoning behind it is fairly common.
You know, the Biodiversity Project in Wisconsin did a poll last year in which they asked people, well, why should we protect the environment? The second most common answer that they received was because it is God's creation. And this is among a cross-section of Americans.
Gardner says this sense of a spiritual connection to the natural world can be a powerful force for conservation. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Back to the calls. Paul is calling from Strasburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Friday evening, sitting here listening to you on the radio. I don't know.
Couldn't get a date, huh?
I'm married 33 years, man. I don't need a date.
Well, like I said, couldn't get a date. Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate that.
Question. We just had a five-month low in crude prices. We just spent a few billion dollars. We took over a sovereign nation. We got a 300-year supply of oil sitting there for our taking.
Yeah.
A few GIs killed. It's a little bit of collateral deaths over there on the other side.
Yeah.
Why is Bush now going after wanting to drill offshore in Alaska? What's his reasoning? Do you have any idea?
Well, he has to...
Other than the fact he wants to make money for his friends.
Yeah, he has to pay off his friends. But there is a there's a huge market for that oil in Japan and
Korea
and in Korea and mainland China. It's going to take a while to get the oil out of Iraq. They're starting to realize it's going to take a while to get it out of Central Asia. But there's a bigger reason, I think, and he wants to do that because George W. Bush is a dry drunk, and it still operates that way. He's a snot. He's hard headed. He doesn't want any discussion, anybody disagreeing with what he says. And this little weasel wants to get into, the Alaskan National Wildlife Refuge. And because people have said, no, don't do it, George, because that's a very pristine place. There's, the ecology, the environment, yada, yada, yada. That's like waving a red flag in front of a rabid bull. So Bush wants to do it. Simply to say to the people who tell him not to do it, to go screw themselves. That's all. This is the way a street or a schoolyard bully operates, and that's what Bush is. That's the only thing I can come up with.
I just shake my head every day when I look at some of the things he comes up with, what he says, what he does. I'm amazed that this man is in the White House.
It is. It's stunning.
I can't believe it, quite honestly. I've been looking at crazy people in the White House for years now, and
but
this guy tops them all.
Now, it's one thing for you and I to feel that way. It's something else again, though, when you look at the numbers of how many people support him. What about that?
I talk to the guy on the street. I talk to friends. I talk to business acquaintances, so forth and so on. You get to talking to him. Most everybody I talk to, maybe I have a weird bunch of friends, but everybody I talk to is not happy, one, with the war, and two, they're not happy with the economy. The economy is in terrible shape. I run a small manufacturing business. It's terrible.
Well, I agree. Most of the people I talk to feel the same way, even though they might be Republicans. I still have a couple of Republican friends. They're more of the Olympia Snow or Jim Jeffords kind of Republicans, but go figure. Just because I talk to people or you talk to people who scratch our heads and say, well, damn, where's all the support coming from? Obviously, it's there. When you have organizations like Pew Center for the People and the Press, when you have organizations like Gallup, these are respectable polling organizations. And when these organizations say, well, look, this guy is really supported out there by 60, 70, whatever the percentage is, 58, I don't know, a lot of people email me and say, Mike, the polls are wrong. Are they?
True.
Are they wrong? I don't know.
Quick question before I go. Who's going to get the Democratic nomination? That's as of today.
Oh, as of today?
Yeah, who's going to get it?
Well, as of today, John Kerry.
Okay.
But if there is a God, a political God, if there's a God of politics, if the American people have any sense of justice and fair play, if the Democratic Party still believes in its principles, it'll be Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I appreciate your comments this past week on Kucinich. You hadn't tripped my trigger before, but I'm seriously looking at him now.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, I can remember when Dennis Kucinich, the most embarrassing moment in his career was when the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland caught fire because the pollution was so horrible.
Didn't Cleveland go bankrupt under his administration?
Almost. Okay. They were teetering on it, and the business community wanted him to sell off the publicly held utility, the power company in Cleveland, and he refused to do it. All he had to do was sell it off for $10 million at the time, and the city would have been a step back from this financial crisis. Now, somebody in Cleveland may want to correct me on this, but I don't think the city actually went into bankruptcy. As it turned out, years later, the same business community then came back and said, you know, Kucinich was right in not doing that.
Really?
So then he, after he was defeated for mayor, he kind of disappeared, and then he ran for the Ohio State Assembly, I believe, and then worked his way into national politics in the House of Representatives. Well, when he was elected mayor, he was the youngest mayor, I think, of a big city in the country. I think.
Did he inherit a mess, or did he create the mess?
Ohio is a Republican state for the most part, which I've never been able to figure out since it's all working class. Most of it is working class. I think he inherited a mess, and he did the best he could, and I think he did fine. The one problem that he had was the financial condition of Cleveland, but that was at a time when the entire Midwest was turning into the what they call the Rust Belt.
Correct.
Industries were leaving left and right. They were moving to the Sun Belt. They were moving here to the South or the Southwest. This was before NAFTA. This was before countries were leaving or companies were leaving the country to get the cheap labor. But companies were leaving the Midwest. You know, Detroit and Cleveland and Akron and Youngstown and Chicago and Fort Wayne and Gary, all these companies were leaving, heading for the Southwest, where there were no unions, or the South, where there were no unions, and you could take white people and black people in the South and just say, well, get your ass in here, boy, and go to work for $5 an hour, you know, and so Kucinich, like a lot of Midwestern big city mayors, had to preside over the bottoming out of those economies, and there was nothing that those big city mayors could do. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. There's nothing they could do.
He's got less money in his war chest than you and I put together. How is he going to do this?
If it's based on money, he won't.
Yeah.
If it's based on enough people working for him, either in neighborhoods or precincts or at the county level, the state level, if the Democratic Party will release some money to him, he has a chance. But if it all comes down to money, he's toast.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Paul.
Very good, sir. Thanks.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Tony's calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Tony, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, Mike. I've been listening to you, though, for like the last couple of months, and I'm a teacher. I teach over at, well, you know the area.
Oh, yeah.
And I teach over in Gurnee.
Uh-huh.
And I
love to go to Gurnee Mills, the shopping behemoth up there.
Oh, God, man. I try to avoid that place like the plague.
Oh, no. We would go up there a couple of times. For people who don't know, Gurnee Mills in outside Chicago, what, about 30 miles north of Chicago?
Right on the Wisconsin border.
Oh, my God. You talk about I've never seen a shopping mall, I guess that's what you call it, like that one.
It is truly not for the timid.
No, it's not. You have to be armed and ready to go into that place, I'll tell you. But we spent a couple of Saturdays, we would go out there and just be stunned by the size of that mall and the stuff that was available. It was just incredible.
Yeah, there's a lot of worthless crap in that place. But I tell you what, man, you do not want to go in that place in the middle of the summer,
no.
Right around the time the Great America, because, you know, Great America is right down the street.
Yeah, another mall.
Oh, God. You know, it's a Six Flags Great America and then the mall. Oh, it's too much.
Oh, the Great America Amusement Park.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you could see that from the expressway. Yeah, but you know, this is why we fought the war in Iraq, so that Gurnee Mills could stay open and we could all shop, I think.
I tell you what, I am so disappointed. I love this country to death. Without this country, I don't know where I'd be. But my God, I'm so disappointed in the people in this country. I can't believe that half this that there are 70% of the people. I just can't believe that number.
I know.
You know, I just don't see it. But you know what's really distressing to me? Now, you know, like I said, I'm a teacher, right? I teach high school.
You have my sympathy.
Don't give me your sympathy, man. It's not that bad.
I mean, isn't?
Aren't
you underpaid, overworked, and have students that couldn't grasp the idea of what you're trying to do, or do you have a you may teach in a good school?
Well, actually, I do teach in a pretty good school, but I have definitely taught in schools like the one you just described, and I do have many students that really couldn't give a rat's well,
right.
You know, about education. So, you know, but the bottom line is, man, you know, if I don't do it and people like me don't do it,
who will?
Who will? And yeah, as for being underpaid, man, I got a chemistry degree. I'm a black man with a chemistry degree.
What do you teach?
Chemistry.
Yeah, well, duh. A black man with a chemistry degree.
I teach chemistry and I run the astronomy club here.
You're the first black man with a chemistry degree I've ever talked to.
Well, you probably don't meet a lot of us.
Right. I wouldn't think. Well, now Waukegan, that's kind of a rich school district, isn't it?
No, man.
Waukegan?
No, Waukegan is... Well, let me tell you. First of all, Waukegan... I don't teach in the Waukegan schools.
Oh, okay.
This is where I live.
Okay.
I can't afford to live in Gurnee.
Right.
Waukegan is definitely more modest. It is by far the most ethnically diverse area in Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
Waukegan. School population is roughly 50% Hispanic now.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be a big industrial city. There's no industry here anymore.
Right.
They've left. You know, the Rust Belt you just mentioned.
Yeah, like so many cities in the Midwest. That's right.
Yeah, just like Rockford is becoming.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of like a big suburb now of Chicago. We're right smack in the middle between Chicago and Milwaukee. So that's kind of where. Our claim to fame.
Now, I've got you way off the topic of what you called in here for. I've got you talking about malls and Waukegan and
I apologize. You know what, though? You know, you got to have some diversion, man. If you just look at the stuff that's happening, you'll you said it the other night. You know, you lose it.
Yeah, for real.
And that's exactly what's happening here. The most frustrating thing for me, though, you know, honestly, is working with the kids. And so many of the kids spew this right-wing crap. They have absolutely no idea what any of it means. I had a kid last week tell me that I was a communist.
Oh, my God.
Because I honestly believe that everybody should have health care.
Oh, my God.
This was he told me, you're a communist. And I'm like, why? And he's like, because you think everybody should have health care. You think everybody should... You know, should have a place to eat. You know, have food to eat. And you believe, you know, the government should give all this stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I asked the kid. I said, "Have you ever, when you get sick, have you ever not been able to go to a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever not been able to get food when you need it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever not had a warm place to stay? You know, if you've never understood any of these things, how dare you make that kind of claim?"
That's the thing that is disturbing to me is that kind of attitude in kids down at the middle and high school level. I know there are still a lot of students out there. We have a couple 16 and 15-year-olds who call this program who pretty much agree with the ideas that I put out and the callers put out on this program. But I know the vast majority of kids don't investigate, don't think, don't... check out other sources other than television or videos or their right-wing parents, and it's a damn shame. You know, let me tell you something. It just occurred to me what these kids need. I think what America's kids need, they all need to have paper routes. And I'll tell you why. When I was a kid and had a paper route, and I started having a paper route, started selling papers when I was like 8 or 9 years old. But I used to in the mornings I would read the newspaper I was about to deliver. And this is back when we had a relatively free press still in this country. And just in sitting there on my parents' front porch in half dark with a street light illuminating the front porch, I'd sit there and fold up my papers, getting ready to do the route. I would read the newspaper. And I think now that we don't have newspaper boys or newspaper girls anymore, kids, where in the hell are kids getting the news? So there's a solution for you. All kids in America should have a newspaper out. See how easy that was?
Well, see, first of all, let me tell you something. Now, this is really distressing to me, but to be honest with you, they don't watch the news. They don't watch TV. They're on the net, but they don't pay attention to the news at all. I am convinced.
Well, that's why they need a paper out, because then you're kind of forced to do it.
Well, you would think so, but
these kids find ways of simply not doing the obvious.
Mm.
I mean, it's sad to say. Some of these kids I see, they have the curiosity. They don't have the curiosity to fill a thimble.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I look at George Bush and I wonder, you know, there's a kid, you know, this was really interesting. We had, at our school, we have a character-based education program in place.
Right.
And one of the things they had the kids do this year was go through and, you know, pick out heroes, you know, people they regarded as being a hero.
Right.
What was interesting to me was the number of kids that selected George Bush. And then I started talking to some of these kids who had chosen him.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost always boiled down to the religious fundamentalist groups.
Oh, no.
Almost always. And, you know, and it's just the most distressing thing in the world. I teach chemistry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any one thing that I honestly feel would, you know, just totally help out this country more than anything else, is if somebody somewhere could somehow, and we're not going to get, you know, we're not going to get this with, you know, with guys like, you know, Rod Paige as the Secretary
right.
of Education,
right?
Disappointment / embarrassment that he is.
Right.
But we need to definitely have somebody who's going to say, you know what, people, we don't need more ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have students who are taking high school chemistry. Now, that, you know, in order to get to high school chemistry, you really have to be pretty good.
Sure.
But, you know, but these are the kids who tell me.
Hey, can you hold on?
Sure.
All right, hold on just a second. We'll come back and finish up because we got to take a break here. Stay with us. We're going to come back and finish our conversation with Tony in just a minute. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm very small, you see. But I can love my Jesus, and he can still love me. And kinda all I want to do is satisfy my Lord. And be the bestest Christian boy. In all the whole wide world, I'll be a cowboy. A Christian cowboy. I'll work for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie, or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
It's Twix.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Love and Dr. Dre style. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix.
Come on, y'all.
Rolling through the Twix.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
best place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talks, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Life's gonna suck when you grow up. It sucks pretty bad right now. You're gonna end up smoking crack on your back, face the back. You're gonna end up hooked on smack, and then you're gonna die.
1994, there were 67 schools in Texas that were rated exemplary according to our own tests.
Yeah, I love those exemplary schools. I do indeed. All right, back to Tony and Waukegan. Tony, let's wrap this sucker up.
All right. Well, just to finish up with Bush there, I just get disappointed with the quality of the people now. They're not even asking questions anymore.
The one thing you said that's really shocking and it's not shocking is when the kids in your school were asked about who they see as heroes, George Bush, and why, because of his religious beliefs?
Oh, man, it's distressing. I mean, this area, by its very nature, it's very conservative. It's very, very oppressive. People here are very tight with their money. It's just distressing. We have, like, the biggest churches in the area are big fundamentalist churches with the 500 to 1,000 members,
Mm-hmm.
You know the type. And
sure.
It's really scary. I mean, I've had... parents tell me, that they don't want, me to teach their kids about the evolution of elements,
Well, they'd prefer the talking snake theory of creation, I guess.
Well, anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, I know teachers who consciously, science teachers, who will not teach certain topics. They just won't. They won't go within 100 yards of it.
The Christian Republic of America, yeah. Like the Islamic Republic of Iran. I guess.
It's very disturbing, and again, it's this ignorance. It's we want to remain ignorant. We don't want to learn. We don't want you to teach this. It's a frightening thing. But one final thing I'd like to talk about real fast. And then I'll get off. My wife listens to. Are you familiar with Tom Joyner?
Yes. He's carried here in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to note. My wife, we found your radio station online since we bought our Macintosh, and
mm-hmm.
we are so thankful.
Yeah. right.
And anyway, with the Tom Joyner morning show, and she was telling me recently that Tom Joyner got taken off the air in New York City.
I wouldn't be surprised. I occasionally pick up his program on a radio station here in Atlanta, but you know, the hammer's coming down. You don't toe the party line, the hammer's coming down, pal.
Well, that's kind of the point, because the reason that he allegedly gave, or that he gave on the show, was because his ratings in New York were falling.
Not true.
Now, obviously, I mean, New York City, you know, Tom Joyner Money Show. Oh, my God.
I hear you. Hey, we got a boogie, Tony.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Call again. I appreciate you checking in. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Malloy here.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
To see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Two U.S. soldiers are dead and five others injured as a result of a gun battle in southeastern Afghanistan today. U.S. military officials say three opposing fighters were also killed during the conflict. Spokesman for the U.S. military in Afghanistan, Colonel Roger King, says the clash involved about 20 fighters broke out near a U.S. base close to the Pakistan border. In a written statement, King says the fighting took place near a site used by opposition forces in the past to launch rocket attacks. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says it's going to take some time to interrogate enemy prisoners of war. Rumsfeld says coalition forces need to garner specific information that only certain POWs can provide.
There are people who, in large measure, have information that we need. And we need that information so that we can track down the weapons of mass destruction in that country. We need that information so that we can track down the terrorist links between Saddam Hussein's regime and various terrorist networks.
Rumsfeld says it's difficult to distinguish between the Fedayeen Saddam military or the average foot soldier dressed in civilian clothing. He also says coalition forces are not holding unnecessary prisoners of war. In fact, about 100 are being released on a daily basis to go home and live their lives. There's word that beginning Wednesday, Singapore's Changi Airport will be thermally screening all departing passengers in an effort to stop the spread of SARS. Channel News Asia reports that until now, officials had only scanned passengers arriving from China and Hong Kong. Airport officials say the advantages of automatic thermal screening over manual temperature checks is expected to make passengers feel more comfortable, since it is less intrusive and less time-consuming.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, yes, then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap. Let's read this one.
My favorite.
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache. Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
Better headache relief. Advance to Advil.
U.S. troops have rescued some wild animals in Baghdad. Soldiers came to the rescue of six young lions and two cheetahs who were uncared for in the private zoo of Saddam Hussein's eldest son, Uday. South African gamekeeper Lawrence Antony says this has been an absolute tragedy for the animals.
The situation is very poor. And on top of that, we've now found other animals at the palaces which are in a worse situation. So by bringing them back here, they can be afforded proper medical treatment, proper attention, and we can at least improve that situation, which is the beginning where we're putting order back into the zoo.
The animals were coaxed into cages with hunks of raw meat and taken to a new home in Baghdad's main zoo. Antony says there is no food and barely enough water at the zoo for the animals. He adds that volunteers may soon be forced to start shooting donkeys to feed the lions. The volunteers are asking for donations to improve the conditions of the animals.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Newt Gingrich is making news again. He sparked a storm of controversy in the U.S. State Department by accusing it of pursuing policies that will clearly throw away all the fruits of hard-won victory in Iraq. He also said the Bureau of Near Eastern Affairs props up dictators and coddles the corrupt. A letter from the American Foreign Service Association told Gingrich his statements were reminiscent of Senator Joseph McCarthy's hunt for communist infiltrators during the 1950s. In the letter, the association's president stated Gingrich should run, not walk, to the office of the nearest U.S. attorney if he had proof of his accusations. USA Today quoted Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage as saying, "It's clear Mr. Gingrich is off his meds and out of therapy." Stocks closed lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 133 points to 8306. The Nasdaq finished down 22 to 1434. The S&P 500 lost 12 points to 898. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimen were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Oi, welcome back. 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Let's get some of these calls. John here in Cleveland, Ohio has been holding on forever. John, I apologize.
Oh, that's quite all right. Hey, I'm loving your new time slot, Mike.
Well, yeah, it seems to go faster for us when we do the program here, Kathy and me, but... Yeah, I like the evening better. People, I don't know, nothing against daytime callers or daytime listeners. It's just nighttime callers and nighttime listeners are just freakier. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair statement. You know, not to put competition up against your broadcast, though, but it was a Gizmo that called earlier was talking about Jon Stewart, the Daily Show.
Yeah, great show.
Oh, man, it was so funny. They had this. During the week, briefly, I'll touch on this about Rick Santorum. He had a commentator, you know, sitting next to him, you know, at his desk, talking about that Rick Santorum really wasn't trying to denigrate homosexuals. Mm-hmm. What he was trying to do was he was trying to embrace and incorporate polygamists, bestiality people and incestual people and raise them to the level of homosexuals. And it just did this whole bit, you know, spinning it that way. And I was just thinking, oh, that is priceless.
That's one of the greatest shows in America. Thank God it's on Comedy Central. Who owns what corporation owns Comedy Central? Because every time I see a John Daly show, John Stewart show, the Daly show, I'm afraid, oh, God, this is the last time it's going to be available.
Yeah. I have no idea who owns that station.
Well, he can always go to HBO.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they run South Park, too, and South Park usually has some pretty pretty good stuff, too.
That's true. Hey,
you know, here in Cleveland, obviously, Dennis Kucinich territory.
Right.
We have the Clear Channel affiliate here.
Several of them, probably.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, we do. But the main one, the one that all the sports stations and that are on, they have a talk show host who's on right after the Pig Boy.
Yeah.
And when he first had that time slot before Clear Channel owned the station, he used to get on and rant and rave that is everybody that's a Democrat bad and everybody that's a Republican good according to this clown? And he used to just rip on Rush all the time.
Right.
Okay. Now Clear Channel owns the station, and he's totally changed his tune. And so in regard to Kucinich, I mean, and here's the guy. Mind you, this guy was always pro-union. I'm not Kucinich, the host.
The talk show host, right.
Yeah, always talking about unions and how, you know, basically everything that, you know, the middle class has to be thankful for,
right.
You can pretty much tie back to the unions and the fights they've made. He's totally flip-flopped and changed his tune.
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking about Kucinich the other day being against abortion but for a woman's right to choose. And he was spinning that like, what does that mean? How could he be so hypocritical?
Yeah, of course there's nothing hypocritical about it at all. You
well,
know, some,
it's
somebody...
kind of like, listen, you know, I can't stand tequila, all right? But I'm not about to go out and ban it and say no one should be allowed to drink it.
Right. That's a hell of an analogy. But I think, you know, Kucinich had that problem, quote, with a lot of Democrats, a lot of female Democrats, because of his position on a woman's right to maintain sovereignty over her own body, which is the way I'd like to put it.
Yeah.
He has now stated categorically that he would never do anything to prevent or try to legislate against Roe v. Wade or a person's right to make that decision. Now, the fact is, I think, is that Kucinich, being ethnic Catholic, who was brought up in a very conservative Catholic church, hell yes, of course he's going to be that way. But that's his personal belief. And again, it goes back to that whole idea of abortion being one of those wedge issues that these filthy Republicans decided to use in order to split people who, you know, abortion was never an issue until when? The 70s, until the Nixon era. It was never an issue.
Right.
And then it came up before the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court at the time said, well, yeah, this is a right to privacy. There's no constitutional guarantee to a right to privacy. But Jesus, if you live in a country that respects the idea of privacy, what could be more private than that sort of a decision?
Yeah.
But the Republicans are the one who politicized an issue that has no business being politicized. It's an absolute It's mind-boggling, but it has happened. And I think Kucinich, as far as I'm concerned, has explained that issue, certainly to my satisfaction.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to get into some hypocrisy about the whole abortion issue, go on Bart Kopp again. And he's getting a lot of plugs today, I guess.
Yes,
and,
he deserves every one of them.
Well, look at the 1971 incident that happened between Governor Bush.
When he paid for the abortion for the 15-year-old girl that he knocked up?
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I wonder why the crack White House press corps never brought that up. But,
Yeah,
and they never will.
Hey, quick question. This is not a rhetorical question. This is just really me wanting to know what the answer is. The people that are going to benefit from this tax cut, obviously, the most are the top 1%.
Yeah.
Okay. What percentage of our tax base do the top 1% actually pay?
They pay a huge amount of the tax revenues collected, and that's the way it should be.
Okay.
Now, they don't pay the majority of the taxes. I think the wealthiest, 5 or 10% probably contribute about 35% of tax revenues. But that's the way it should be. Why not? It's like Willie Sutton said when the FBI said, why do you rob banks? And he said, because that's where the money is.
Well, the reason I was asking that, you're sure it's only 35%?
I'm pulling the number out of thin air. It's somewhere, I think, in the 30s. It may be in the 40s.
It is a fact that the top 10% of wage earners in the most prosperous decade of the 20th century, which was the 1950s, paid 95% of all taxes.
Well, that's true, and that's because the tax rate back then, this was after World War II, it was almost, I believe the word is confiscatory. John Kennedy, when he came into office, that lowered the top tax rate from, around 88-90%.
It was 95%.
Down to
78%.
I think he took it lower than that.
Really?
Yeah, I think it came down lower than that. I don't believe in that kind of a tax rate.
No, I don't either. But look at it relatively, though.
Yeah.
The fact is that in the 50s, you had a balanced budget.
That's true.
The middle class grew. The middle class was formed, really, in the 50s.
It was the longest expansion of middle class, middle income, home ownership, college educations.
Right.
We can talk about the 50s as being kind of a dull, boring period of time, but the fact is, from the end of World War II up until the middle of the war in Vietnam, this country had an expansion unlike anything known in the history of humankind.
Well,
and there's no question about that. Now, as far as taxes today, in my opinion, if every American corporation and if they do business in this country or have Americans on their corporate boards or American stockholders and they try to hide by going offshore, I would put a stop to that if I were king of America. But if American corporations would pay the equivalent of just the equivalent of the average millionaire in this country in terms of corporate taxes, so many of these corporations pay nothing. There are corporations, multi-billion-dollar corporations, that pay less in income tax than you or I do.
Oh, I know.
And if that inequity were done away with, I think, maybe folks could get a little bit better break on their own personal tax rate. But corporate America will never do that. Why should they?
No.
There's nobody forcing them or pushing them to do it. And now, with globalization, the threat is always hanging in the shadows. I am corporation number one. If you push me, screw you, I'll move to China.
Yeah.
So back off, bro. We're kind of caught until we get political leadership that will stand up to this corporate fascism, if that's not redundant, and put an end to it.
Remember, Mike, I sent you an email last week about Michael Moore. Bowling for Columbine.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Your wife or fiance works in the video
She's a marketing
business.
Director marketing, for a large movie chain up here.
Yeah, and I mentioned that over the air.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I said this is the explanation.
That was probably when you were on direct. Oh, was it? Okay, I might have been working late that night.
And I appreciate it because it was an issue. A couple of people had emailed me and said, "Hey, what about this?" And I didn't have an answer. So
yeah.
I'm so glad that you sent that email and cleared the issue up.
That's going to just totally blow up when that comes out on DVD, though.
I think so.
He's going to do extremely well with that, and hopefully if enough people get to see that, that'll really help turn the tide.
Wonderful movie. John, thanks a lot for checking in, pal.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Yeah, what John was saying, we had a couple of people, if you missed it, we had a couple of people email and said, look, you know, I've been waiting for a video release and they mentioned a couple of major video chains like Blockbuster. And I put my name on the list, and then I get this message that says, you know, we're not going to release it on DVD or tape. And the question came up, why not? And I didn't have an answer. And John's, what do you say, Kathy? His wife, his fiance, works as marketing director. And the answer is simply, it's based on how movie theaters get their revenue. When a movie is first released, they have to return about 70% of the revenue back to the distributing company, like Warner Brothers or Paramount or whoever it is. And the longer the movie shows in their theater, the more their income goes up and their payout goes down. And it's to the point now with Bowling for Columbine, because of contracts, a lot of theaters now are getting to keep about 70% of the ticket sales, the revenue, and they're holding back on releasing it to the video rental outlets, which makes sense to me. And the fact that Michael Moore won the Academy Award for Best Documentary, and his wonderful statement when he accepted the award, that's really kicked up the interest. And so the theater owners now are starting to make they're making more money than they would when it first came out. So that's the reason for that. And I appreciate John sending that email to let us know. All right, quick break. We'll be back. More of your phone calls coming up. I'm Mike Malloy.
Just look around. A thousand years to build, and now it's coming down. If this were a movie, I'd say the acting's pretty bad. Everyone's stiff. The dialogue's so sad. If this were a movie, why I wouldn't believe it. But if this were a movie, I could get up and leave it, yeah. If this were a movie, I could get up and...
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25!
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program. with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network. For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right. Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly three-hour bedtime story. MM 9 p.m. Pleasant dreams.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Just got an email from our Bangkok, Thailand bureau chief. That would be Chris. And, yes, we have a bureau in Bangkok, Thailand. Is it Thailand? I didn't think. Okay. He says, hi, Mike, thank you so much for moving to a more civilized time slot. I can now listen live as I did back in your WLS days. A note on SARS, you know, severe acute respiratory syndrome. Why is it that 200 dead in 6 months causes a worldwide uproar, but 3,000 children dying of malaria every day in Africa barely gets a mention? And malaria is a disease we know how to fight. Too bad for those kids that they weren't born white. Yeah, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? I have a friend, a very close friend, who works in public health. He does a lot of work for UNICEF. He has a degree in public health. He travels way too much. I think his wife and sons think he's gone too much. But he travels to so-called third world countries and tries to convince the governments of these countries to do things like add beta carotene into the flour mix, to try to put vitamin C into local soft drinks, you know, using nutritional support to stop some of these hideous epidemics and diseases that kill so many children. He spent an awful lot of time in South Africa and in the countries in Southern Africa. And when he comes back from these trips, he tells us about just the awful resistance that he gets sometimes from the bureaucracies. It's not just in this country. But he spent time in Southeast Asia and a lot of time in India and the sub-Saharan Africa, going into countries trying to get through UNICEF or through NGOs, various NGOs, non-government organizations. Sometimes he travels courtesy of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention here in Atlanta, sometimes from the U.S. Public Health Service. But Jack will tell me when he comes back from these trips about just how simple it would be. How simple and how inexpensive it would be to save the lives of literally hundreds of thousands of people, mostly children, who die of diseases that we in this country just don't even consider. And Chris's email just kind of kicked that in for me. Too bad those kids weren't born white. You bet. 3,000 children dying of malaria every day in Africa. Nobody cares. But let the SARS epidemic, and not to minimize severe acute respiratory syndrome. It's a scary thing, and it's starting to go global, or it is going global. But Chris's point is right on. Ted is calling from Rockford, Illinois. Hey, Ted.
How you doing, Michael?
Doing fine, sir.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you since you were on Days, but this reminds me of the good old days when you were at WLS.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know about wonderful memories, but memories. The reason I called, first of all, I was going to tell you, one of the people sent you an email about Rummy's conference today.
Yeah.
You did miss a really good one. The reporters are almost like they're getting fed up with his answers and are really trying to nail him down sometimes.
Well, I would hope, but on the other hand, if they push too hard, Ari will just have a chat with Karl Rove, and they'll start pulling press passes.
Well, today they asked Rumsfeld if one reporter asked him, and I don't know why reporters ask questions. They're supposed to report.
Right.
But one reporter asked him... the Shalabi now, the United States is backing him in that because he used to be, he is an Iraqi and he lived there for many years, and nobody, even though he's been gone for a long time, and Rumsfeld, oh yes, that's true. And he said, well, how do you feel about the fact that the King of Jordan yesterday said that Shalabi is a convicted felon, that
right.
he embezzled millions of dollars from the banks in Jordan and that?
All right, hold the answer right there. Let me put you on hold and I'll come back because I missed the press conference and I want to hear what Rumsfeld said to that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
So, baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. A 10-day strike by more than 3 million truck drivers in India has come to an end, with the truckers claiming victory. They walked off the job in protest of rising fuel prices and a new tax the government planned to impose on the trucking industry. But after the government agreed to moderate fuel costs and reconsider the tax, the trucks began rolling again yesterday. Several factories shut down during the dispute as raw materials ran low and several million pounds of produce and livestock had to be destroyed after spoiling and starving to death in warehouses.
President Bush was in Canton, Ohio yesterday defending his proposal for a 10-year tax plan that could eliminate nearly three-quarters of $1 trillion in taxes over the next decade. Under the plan, the wealthiest 1% of Americans would receive more in breaks than the bottom 80%. Despite this, Bush insists his plan is geared to help working Americans.
For the sake of our country, for the sake of the workers of America, Congress needs to pass this jobs growth package soon.
Polls show a majority of Americans oppose Bush's plan, and recently the president has reduced his call for a $726 billion cut.
The package ought to be at least $550 billion in size over a 10-year period in order to make sure that the economy grows.
Bush says a tax cut would create a million new jobs by the end of 2004, half the number that have disappeared under his watch.
That's not my projection. That's the projection of a lot of smart economists who've analyzed the package.
Evidently, that doesn't include the 10 Nobel Prize-winning economists who earlier this year attacked the plan, saying the president was seeking a, quote, permanent change in the tax structure and not the creation of jobs and growth in the near term, end quote.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stepman's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, and we are talking with Ted in Rockford, Illinois. All right, now, you left us hanging there. So.
Okay, I got to hurry because I've been on hold for about an hour and 10 minutes, and my phone's starting to go dead. So.
Oh, God.
They asked him a question, and they said, well, how do you feel about the Jordan have him as? And he said, well, there's a lot of people over there, and the Iraqis are going to pick who they want. And there's a lot of people, and everybody around the area probably has some people they don't like and things like that. And the guy said, well, we're not talking about somebody they don't like. He said he's a convicted felon, you know.
Right, right.
And he just basically ignored the question, and he said, well, I've already answered that. Anyways, the reason I wanted to call is the Privacy Act. I checked out a couple old favorite books I haven't read for a long time, Brave New World and 1984, and I asked the librarian, well, I'm going to be in trouble now because they can check on this. And she said, oh, you mean Section 215 of the Privacy Act or the Patriot Act.
Right.
And I said, wow, you know, she knew about it. And she said, no problem. We've changed our software. These guys in the government think it's so slick.
Right.
But she said, we've changed our software, so as soon as you check that book in, it's eliminated off your record.
Yeah, yeah. I've been reading about the American Library Association, ALA, that recommended to their member libraries and librarians to do just that.
Oh, yeah, I was so happy about that. And then I tried to check out... stupid white men.
Uh-huh.
And there's about 15 libraries in this area around here, and there's got dozens of copies, and every single one of them were gone.
Yeah, I read it. I read that book over the summer. I think it was the summer or last spring. A little draggy in parts, but he makes some excellent, excellent points. And it just cracks me up that it's still number two on the New York Times bestseller list. And Bowling for Columbine is breaking all sorts of records. And the reason it cracks me up is because of how the right wing attacked him after he made his statement, shame on you, George Bush. At the Academy Awards, so I think it's great. Listen, one thing, Ted, be careful if you go to check out Catcher in the Rye.
Oh well, yeah, I saw that conspiracy theory. Yeah, that was the movie.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Ding.
Yes, but I got an email today, and I wrote to Kucinich, and I said I would be willing to volunteer, and I'm going to work for him.
Super.
But I'll tell you what. You've changed my mind. I remember a call a long time ago, and I was kind of ragging on the Greens, and Tim Robbins was right. He said no. He gave a good reason why he voted for him, and now what you're espousing is exactly right. And if Kucinich doesn't get it, I'm not going to vote for a Republican. I'll vote for Nader. Maybe we're going to have to if we can't stop this, and if it has to go to fascism, maybe that's what we deserve if the people are too stupid to understand and to do what they're supposed to do. I don't know.
Well, I've gotten to the point where I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, it's just so sad. But every program I see on C-SPAN and all over the place and the people I talk to, nobody liked Bush. So I don't understand it. I don't understand where this is coming from. It's got to be coming from someplace, but damn it, I want to vote for a Democrat, but, can't we find somebody to run,
Damn it, I want to vote for a Democrat.
I do. I know. I think my phone's going dead, but...
All right.
Geez, it's so nice to have you back on nights again, I miss some of the people that used to call you in the daytime, but But I hear some of the old familiar voices from back in Chicago calling again now. So
yeah, and some of the folks listening to this program on this network during the day, they'll find us.
Oh, yeah, they will.
All right, thank you, Ted.
Okay, you take care.
All right, you too. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, as far as this, what's his name, Ahmed Shalabi, the guy that the Defense Department, that would be the real neo-fascist in the government of the United States. They want Shalabi to be the new dictator of Iraq. And as Ted pointed out, as most of you know, Shalabi has a criminal record. He was convicted in absentia in Jordan for bank fraud, theft. I don't know what he stole. What was it? $60-70 million. Kind of like one of the Bush boys, Neil Bush. Neil Bush with Silverado, he stole hundreds of millions of dollars. So the reason, a lot of people think we're just trying to be cute when we talk about the Bush crime family. This family, going back generations, has been involved in criminal activity up to and including financing Adolf Hitler. Now, it's not, Bartkop refers to it as the Bush family evil empire, the BFEE. And he's right. I refer to it as a Bush crime family. And these are not just cute little phrases to, get attention. The Bush family are criminals, period. Every single damn one of them has been either convicted of something or indicted for something or been charged with something. And the ones who haven't have used their connections to avoid prosecution. So using this Shalabi character who hasn't lived in Iraq for 45 years. He was 8 years old, I believe, when his family left. This guy predates Saddam Hussein. But the Defense Department, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Pearl, this advisory committee to the Defense Department, the real hardcore, goose-stepping Joseph Goebbels, Adolf Hitler branch of the Republican leadership, they want Shalabi in there. Because just like they, who was it that said, was it George Bush Sr. who said about Manuel Noriega? He may be a lying, raping, killing son of a bitch, but he's our lying, raping, killing son of a bitch. Now, that's what Pappy Bush said about Manuel Noriega until finally Noriega decided, hey, look, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of the Bush administration, the Reagan administration, using my country as a transshipment point for cocaine and heroin so they can finance their war in Central America. And he decided to go public. And that's when we invaded Panama. And that's the reason this tin horn dictator Manuel Noriega sits in a prison in Miami. So Shalabi is no different. In order to work with the Bush crime family, you must be a criminal yourself, either corporate crime or bank fraud or theft. You have to. And Shalabi fits that profile perfectly. Now, the people of Iraq will kill him. Excuse me. Once Shalabi is installed as the puppet dictator in Iraq, they will assassinate him. Just like they're trying to assassinate Hamid Karzai, and eventually will, in Afghanistan. It may take them 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, but eventually Shalabi, if he is installed, will be assassinated, and a Shiite suicide squad will get him. Eventually, they will get him. Gosh, we talk about the damnedest things on this program. Murder, suicide, drug dealing. Well, time to stop talking about the Bush family. Let's move on. Patrick is calling from Owensburg, Kentucky. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hey,
I know you've been.
Did you ever get my email?
Yes, I did. I know you've been holding on forever.
I didn't mean to clobber you with all that.
No, that's okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. My dad was a state representative in the late 50s here in Kentucky, which now... the person that holds that office, my dad was born the same year as President Kennedy and was a liberal Democrat at that time. Back during that time, the Courier Journal out of Louisville was writing about Vietnam, you know, way before we were even involved.
Right.
But now we have a Centorum Rick Santorum figure, carpetbagger from Illinois,
yeah.
who's trying to run as a lieutenant governor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we might get a Republican governor this time, which is pretty scary because we're a moderate state traditionally politically. But anyway, yeah, I saw some nuts webpage the other day compared a Kucinich to Neville Chamberlain.
Oh, of course, of course, of course. You know, of course, they'll compare him to Jack the Ripper. They'll compare him to Republican fundraisers who rape and molest children.
Yeah.
They'll compare him to anything. Look, there is a whole team of Republican operatives right now digging around in Dennis Kucinich's life, his past, everything. If they find out when he was in eighth grade, he kissed another eighth grader, they will put it down as he sexually assaulted a 13-year-old. I mean, this is how the Republicans work. They are filthy.
This guy looked like the spitting image of Billy Graham. I mean, you know, it had to be a Protestant. You know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to ask about Mr. Sterling show. Did they bump that?
Which
that was a good show.
What show?
Mr. Sterling.
Mr. Sterling?
It was on Friday nights.
I have no idea.
You know, about the Democrat that was kind of breaking from the mainstream party line, going progressive.
I'm drawing a total blank here.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody might know about it.
Was it on television, radio?
Yeah, it was on television for a while, and
well, maybe somebody will send me an email, and when they do, I'll just share it with you over the air.
It was a good show, but anyway, they bumped now with Bill Moyers for about 3 weeks, and I was freaking out.
Mm.
But he's back on now, so I don't know. I was going to ask, do you have any idea, any kind of ballpark figure as to how much of the vote Nader really got in 2000?
Well, it varied state to state. I think in some states on the West Coast, he got as much as 8%.
I mean, nationally, not 3.5%.
No.
I mean, you know Gore had to siphon.
Yeah, I think probably nationally, when everything was counted up and considered, it was probably right around 3% of the total popular vote. If you figure there were 100 million votes, that means he got about 3 million votes.
You really think that?
It was. Does that seem too high to you or too low?
I think it's too low.
Like I said, it varied from state to state. But the last figure I heard, it might have been 3.5%. But it was the number 3 for some reason, 3%, 3.5. In order to qualify for federal matching funds, I think you have to get 5%.
Right.
And he didn't do that.
Right.
So I believe, unless I've got this totally screwed up, and if I do, I'll get an email here within the next 2 or 3 minutes clarifying it. But I think it was around 3.5%, but it was not enough, I don't believe, to qualify for federal matching funds this time.
Right, right. Oh, I heard all that, but I haven't heard a peep from him as far as any kind of an investigation as to, you know, about that. But I was going to ask you another question.
Okay, quickly.
Yeah, when James Baker and Bush took the election to the extreme right-wing Supreme Court,
mm-hmm.
which made him the winner, was it a closed-door court, or were there gag orders on Gore's lawyers?
Well, all debates in the Supreme Court are closed, so to speak. I mean, people who participate in their presentations before the Supreme Court can say anything they want to, but there's no audio or video allowed inside the Supreme Court. I think the arguments that were made by both sides were pretty much gotten out to the public as or shortly after those debates were. I forget the guy who represented Gore, but it was what's his name? He's Solicitor General now, Ted Owen. What's his name, Kathy? His wife was killed in the plane crash that slammed into the Pentagon. Olson, that's right. He represented the Bush crime family, and I forget the name of the attorney that represented Gore. But they can talk about, and then of course the decision is published. But as far as the arguments made inside the court, usually they are not subject to audio or video recordings. Although I seem to remember that they might have made an exception here. But this is so long ago. This is a million years ago in dog time, and I've been living dog life since this thug got into office.
Hey, have you ever seen the movie American Way or Riders of the Storm?
No, I haven't.
In the late 80s. You got to see this.
Okay.
This is what's going to happen if you get shut down.
Yeah.
If they shut us all down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Patrick. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate your call. Patrick just wanted to go on and on and on and on. Bless his heart. Mike is calling from Orlando. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike. A couple quick things before I wanted to talk about Kucinich.
Okay.
I'm sick of these pop-up ads about the Iraqi cards coming on a computer. I get about three of them every time I'm surfing all constantly, and I'm sick of seeing them on Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Ari Fleischer today, it was funny. He used his press conference when somebody asked him about North Korea as a chance to plug the Missile Defense Shield program.
Sure.
So that's coming up next.
Sure.
And these Bush little things you play, you ever think about putting them on a CD to sell them or something like that? I'd be interested in that.
Yeah, Kathy has been approached on this several times. If we ever do it, we should put it together, sell it, and donate all the proceeds to the Kucinich campaign.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right.
Excellent.
Well, Kathy just got cool Edit Pro program for her computer in here, which means she'll be able to do anything. I don't know if you're familiar with that program, but it's...
No.
It equalizes and really cleans up sound. And
then what's it called?
Cool, as in COOL, Cool Edit Pro.
I was looking for one myself. That'll save me from doing it if you guys do it.
It's a great program, and you can do just about anything with sound, digitalized sound. And we had thought about that because a lot of people said, God, you know, you guys, and she must have, Kathy must have 300.
Oh.
Of these bits from Bush, some of them are just priceless, and would probably make a good CD. And if we ever do it, like I said, all the proceeds will go to the Kucinich.
And it's got great replay value.
Yes, it does.
The Kucinich thing. I talked to a guy at work, and he's one of those that are hesitant about it, partially because of his looks and he doesn't have the money and things.
Right.
But if we start, you know, if we go electing somebody like Kerry with big money again, aren't we just getting into the same problem where just big money's controlling government anyway?
Yeah, I think so. And somebody sent me an email about Kerry on C-SPAN about how dead he looks. And I wrote back and I said, you know, that's what's always bothered me about Kerry. Anytime there's no fire, there's no passion there. You know, this is a guy. You know, he married the heir to the Heinz ketchup fortune.
Yeah,
and he's got lots of money. The only way I think I might consider I would never consider Kerry. Never mind. I was going to say something. I changed my mind. But
is there any way that Kucinich that you feel has got a chance without getting any big money? I mean, what's the angle?
Only if hundreds of thousands of people. You remember the Get Clean for Gene campaign back in 68 until Bobby Kennedy decided to run. Gene, what was his last name, Kathy? He was running for the Democratic Party and defeated Lyndon Johnson, I believe, in New Hampshire. Oh, God, I'm having another senior moment. But a lot of college and high school kids got clean for Gene and knocked on doors, passed out literature. If that happens with Kucinich, he has a chance. Hey, I got to leave there, Mike. Thanks.
Good evening. Take
All right,
care.
Sir. Appreciate your call.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Another lending success story from LendingTree.com.
I needed a new kitchen, which meant I needed a home equity loan. So I went to LendingTree.com. I filled out one simple form and got four offers back within hours. Then I got the loan I wanted. Oh, did I say loan? I meant kitchen.
Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. For additional information and state license disclosures, please visit our website located at LendingTree.com.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to ieamericaradio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
I don't know how I forgot the name Gene McCarthy. Thank you, Kathy. It was Get Clean for Gene. Gene McCarthy, who in the 68, I believe it was the 68 primary season, when he, in the New Hampshire primary, he glommed up more votes than Lyndon Johnson. It was shortly after that Lyndon Johnson said, I'm out of here. You remember. Get Clean for Gene. Daryl, our Detroit Bureau Chief, is checking in. Hey, finally got you when you're not at work, huh?
Well, yeah.
Oh, you're still at work.
No. I'm not at work. Just back in town after being out of town for a little while. I just wanted to say congratulations on your time slot that...
Yeah, we've been pushing for it for a long time, and I'm glad to be working at night. I'm just more of a night person. You know, the time in my life when you'd go to the club around midnight. That's when it started.
There you go.
That's when you start.
Yeah, yeah.
You have dinner and take a shower and relax, kick back, watch a little TV, and then you go to the club, right?
Well, now the funny thing is I'm talking to my daughter who's in her 20s, and she's saying, oh, yeah, we're going to go out about 11 o'clock.
Or, mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you're just leaving?
Right, right. you remember how it used to be. Lighten up.
I remember the neat thing would be to be able to stay up and see the dawn, be up and out at 4 or 5 o'clock
right.
in the morning.
That's right.
That was a great old thing. I was sitting here on the phone playing, like, you know how you want to shout out the answer to the television?
Right.
You were looking for Ted Olson's last name.
Yeah, like, Ted Olson. Yeah. And then I couldn't think of Gene McCarthy. I'm telling you, it's hell getting old. Getting old is not for sissies, my friend.
Yeah, but it comes... Well, it beats the alternative as best we know.
We got about 10 seconds, Daryl.
Okay, 10 seconds.
Right.
Have a great week.
And have a great weekend.
Yes.
This is a weekend. That's it.
Thank you.
All right, Daryl. We'll talk to you later on when we got time. Thanks for checking in. Tonight's program, engineered in Detroit by Stephanie Stryker and produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. My name is Mike Malloy. Have a good weekend. Take care. I said that backwards. I'll see you Monday. I hope. I really hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Two adults were shot at the University of Maryland's College Park campus today. Prince George's County Police say the victims are a man and a woman who were found in a campus parking garage. One student says she was leaving the parking garage when another student told her about the incident.
There were two bodies laying down on the ground, and two people got shot.
The victims were taken to nearby hospitals. There is no word on their conditions. Delta Airlines Chairman Leo Mullen painted a grim picture for shareholders at the company's annual meeting in New York today. Mullen says if the Atlanta-based airline is to achieve safe passage in the post-9/11 environment, reforming the company's bottom line remains a top priority. Concessions from Delta's pilots, he says, may be key to fixing the revenue cost structure.
To continuing partnership with our pilots and all Delta employee groups in ensuring Delta's ability to compete effectively.
Delta's pilots are the highest paid in the industry, and Mullen says that the agreement signed with them 2 years ago is no longer sustainable in the current environment. Mullen says he's encouraged that the pilots' union has agreed to talk to management about costs.